Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. They say it's natural and compare it to the birds and the bees. Getting pregnant is as simple as a sperm fertilizing an egg. Simple, but not always easy. According to the CDC, in the U.S., 6% of married women between the ages of 15 and 44 are infertile. Over 7 million women in this demographic have sought out infertility services.
Infertility is not only a major concern of married couples trying to have a baby, it can be a major expense for those trying to conceive. Joining us for a look at infertility, its causes, diagnosis, and treatment options is Dr. Eve Feinberg, Medical Director of Northwestern Medicine Fertility and Reproductive Medicine in Highland Park, Illinois. Dr. Feinberg is an OBGYN and a reproductive endocrinologist, and as someone who has personally faced infertility problems, has perspective on both sides of the issue. Dr. Feinberg is also the founder and executive director of the Kevin J. Lederer Life Foundation, a nonprofit that provides financial assistance to those diagnosed with infertility.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Feinberg. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Would you just define for us what is the medical view on infertility? What is infertility?
We define infertility as the inability to conceive or sustain a pregnancy. In women who are under 35, we define that as 12 months of attempting pregnancy, and in women who are over 35, that time frame gets shortened to 6 months.
Who is most likely to experience fertility problems?
Anyone and everyone. It is a disease that does not discriminate against various cultural and ethnic racial groups. It is a little bit more common as women get older to have infertility, but we see about 60% of infertility happening as a result of female issues and 40% happening as a result of male factors.
What about weight? Being overweight or even underweight, does that affect a person's chance of getting pregnant?
It does. At both ends of the spectrum, we see challenges, and the challenges on both sides are different.
And smokers?
Absolutely. Smoking is one of the most detrimental things that a woman or man can do to impair their fertility.
What role does a man's health play in fertility?
It plays a huge role, and I think that as we're learning more and more, we're starting to greatly appreciate the impact of male factors on fertility. For example, we know that men who are obese have high levels of circulating estrogen, and that can impair the ability of the testes to produce sperm.
There are a couple of tips that I read that were directed towards men. Is this true or false? Keeping cell phones in the front pocket, avoiding tight underwear and hot tubs.
Absolutely. So the cell phone issue is a lot more controversial than the other two. The testes are designed by nature to be outside of the body so that they remain 1 degree cooler than the core body temperature. And so anything that increases core body temperature, anything that increases the temperature within the testes may decrease sperm production. And so tight underwear keeps the testes in close proximity to the body and can heat them up. And so therefore, we recommend men wear looser fit underwear or boxer briefs along those lines. Same thing with exercise, bicycle riding, wet heat like saunas or hot tubs. We generally recommend when couples are trying to get pregnant that men avoid activities that will provide excess heat to the testes. The cell phone issue is definitely on the horizon. We don't know whether or not that's fact or fiction. It's still being investigated. The thought is also heat, but it may be that there are other electronic factors that impair the ability to produce sperm.
What are the things that a couple can try that are non-invasive before you start to get into the serious infertility treatments?
I think that the biggest thing that couples can do is be certain that they're timing the menstrual cycles correctly and timing the window where they're trying to conceive. A lot of women are using, more and more frequently are using, cell phone apps that can help to track cycles. And I think having much more awareness of when ovulation is taking place can really help a couple to time intercourse appropriately.
So when is the time that a couple says, okay, we've been trying this for a year, we followed all the advice we got, but nothing's happening? Should they go to their general doctor, or should they find a fertility specialist, or I guess go to their OBGYN?
So I'm biased. I think that in a year they should come see a fertility specialist, but it's certainly not the wrong answer to go see an OBGYN. I would probably recommend skipping a general internal medicine doctor at that point.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking about infertility with Dr. Eve Feinberg. She's medical director of Northwestern Medicine, Fertility and Reproductive Medicine in Highland Park, Illinois. And we're talking about when is it time to go see a fertility doctor or clinic. So let's say the appointment is made and you walk in. Are you usually meeting with the both partners? Is it usually just the woman? And tell me how this unfolds. What types of questions do you ask them, and what types of tests do you prescribe based on their answers?
Sure. So I will either meet individually with the woman, or the couple will present for the initial consultation. Either is completely fine. I really enjoy meeting the husbands up front. I generally start by taking a careful medical history of both partners. So with regard to the woman, I'll always ask first thing how long they've been trying to achieve pregnancy, what methods of contraception they've used in the past. I think many times couples will say, oh, we've been actively trying to get pregnant for a year, but what they fail to recognize is that they haven't been using contraception for many, many years. And even though they haven't actively been trying to get pregnant, in my mind, non-contracepting is the same thing as trying to get pregnant. And so we'll start with a very basic understanding of the time course over which infertility has happened. And then I usually will start with a pregnancy history. Have they ever been pregnant in the past? And any pregnancy counts, even if it was an unintended, unplanned pregnancy in the teenage years. I want to know about that because I think it's important for their overall assessment. The next thing that I typically will ask about is the menstrual cycle. Is a woman getting a period at a regular interval? Menstrual cycles should be between 27 and 32 days. When the periods come sooner than that, so when menstrual cycles are shorter, that can be a very worrisome sign of a decrease in a woman's egg supply. Conversely, when the menstrual cycles are longer than 32 days, I wonder whether or not the woman is actually releasing an egg and whether or not she's ovulating. I also ask about things like pain during a menstrual cycle. A certain amount of cramping is normal, but excessive pain can be a signal of an underlying medical process like endometriosis. We'll also ask how long the period lasts. The period should last from 4 to 7 days. Periods that are shorter than that or periods that are longer than that can signify an underlying issue with the hormones or with something anatomic within the uterus. I then generally will ask about other gynecologic issues. Has a woman ever had a chlamydia infection in the past? Chlamydia can damage the fallopian tubes and make a woman infertile. We'll also ask about general gynecologic health. We want to make sure that a woman, before she gets pregnant, has optimized her health, is up to date on her pap smear, want to make sure that if she's over 40, she's had a mammogram. We then will talk about family history, and we'll ask whether or not there are any genetic diseases that run in the family, and we'll take a careful history to assess risk factors for genetic diseases. We often will order or recommend doing some form of genetic carrier screening on these women. We talk a lot about common genetic diseases like cystic fibrosis, other things like Fragile X, which can be a cause of mental retardation, and will often offer testing like Horizon panels for genetic diseases. We then ask about social history, so things like smoking cigarettes, alcohol consumption, caffeine consumption, and those are all really important in terms of a woman's overall fertility potential. Smoking is one of the most detrimental things that women can do for their fertility. I then focus on surgical history. Has a woman had surgery in the past? Sometimes abdominal surgeries can cause scar tissue within the pelvis that may render her infertile later in life. We'll also ask about brothers, sisters, miscarriages, those things that sometimes can be transmitted from a family history perspective. I also usually ask the age that her mother went through menopause. Family history of early menopause can be a signal or can be an underlying clue as to a decreased egg supply. So those are all the things that we focus on with regard to the woman. We'll usually switch gears if the husband or partner is present. I'll take a careful, detailed history from the husband or partner, and if not, I'll ask the wife or female partner the questions that pertain to the male. With regard to the male, want to ask similar questions about genetic diseases, talk about genetic carrier screening. We'll also ask about health habits like tobacco, alcohol, illegal drugs, marijuana use, as that can impact sperm production. We'll also talk about warm heat, exercise habits, underwear habits, those types of things within the male. And then we move on to a discussion about the testing phase. So the silver lining, as I see it, with infertility is it really enables couples to take a step back and optimize their health prior to achieving pregnancy. And what I mean by that, it's a time to review vaccination history. We want to make sure that all women who are embarking upon pregnancy are immune to rubella, chickenpox, or varicella. We want to talk about genetic carrier screening. We want to offer genetic carrier screening, such as the Horizon Genetic Carrier Screening Panel, which will screen up to 237 genetic diseases. We also want to make sure that basic health things are up to date. We want to optimize health. We want to cut out smoking. We want to achieve a healthy body weight. And then once we talk about fertility testing, we will do some testing to look at ovarian reserve. Ovarian reserve lets us think about the egg supply that a woman contains within her ovaries. And while there's no direct measurement that we can do to tell us the exact egg supply that a woman has, there are several tests that we can do that we think about as surrogate markers for egg supply.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Law.
We're talking to Dr. Feinberg, Dr. Eve Feinberg, about infertility and what the first tests are that are done when a couple who find they can't get pregnant see a fertility specialist such as Dr. Feinberg. I'm interested to know what the first round of tests are before you have to get into more invasive things with a couple.
So generally, we break down the testing to look at four factors. We look at the ovaries, we look at the fallopian tubes, we look at the uterus, and we look at the male component through a semen analysis. When we look at the ovaries, we do an ultrasound to look for the size and shape of the uterus. We want to look to see whether or not the ovaries contain a good supply of eggs within it. We also do some hormone testing in the very beginning of a woman's menstrual cycle. In order to assess the fallopian tubes, you can do one of two tests. You can either do an X-ray test called a hysterosalpingogram, or you can do a saline ultrasound test to look at the shape of the uterus, the inside of the uterus, and the fallopian tubes. We also do some sort of assessment of ovulation by doing a blood test to see whether or not a woman is releasing an egg every month. And then we have the male partner, if there is a male partner, do a semen analysis to evaluate the concentration of sperm, the motility, and the shape of the sperm or the morphology. And that's the basic round of tests that we put couples through.
So you find evidence of infertility, and it is, well, it's something that you're going to have to step in on. What is the first thing that you explore with a couple in terms of treatments?
We try to target it to the diagnosis. First, we want to figure out why that couple's not getting pregnant. And again, if it's a uterine factor, a tubal factor, an ovarian factor, or a sperm factor, the treatments are really going to differ based upon what we see. So if it's a uterine factor, we may recommend surgery as a first-line treatment. If it's male factor, we may jump straight into intrauterine insemination or in vitro fertilization. And if it's an ovulatory factor, meaning that the woman isn't releasing an egg on a regular basis, then we may just put her on a pill, like medication called Clomid or Letrozole, in order to allow her to release an egg every month.
How effective and successful is IVF?
Tremendous. tremendously, and the success rate has only increased with time. And as the technology has become better and better, the success rates are increasing. In women who are under 35 who pursue IVF, the likelihood that it would work in a single month can be as high as 60%.
Is that procedure covered by insurance?
In 13 states it is, and the coverage is quite limited. For the rest of the states, it's not yet covered, and it can be very expensive.
If somebody listening feels that they are ready to seek out advice from a fertility doctor or clinic, how do they find somebody that they know is credentialed and has a good track record? Is there a national organization they can look up online?
There is. So the Society for Reproductive Endocrinologists and Infertility Specialists, SREI, contains an online database of all board-certified reproductive endocrinologists and infertility specialists.
Doctor, as successful as some of the reproductive technology is, like in vitro fertilization and other things that you mentioned earlier, I'm sure there is a percentage of people that just are not able to get pregnant. And there's an emotional factor there that I'm sure you're familiar with and have to talk to your patients about. How do you handle that situation when you feel you've offered the couple as much as you know, and of course you care about them? Could you just give us an idea of how you approach having that conversation?
Yes. Fortunately, the technologies are so good that those conversations are few and far between. The way that I broach it is patients that want to have a baby will have a baby, and it may not always happen in the way that you hope and expect it would happen. Clearly, everybody who walks into my office has already experienced that sense of loss. But there are so many different ways that we can help to build families. We can use donor eggs, we can use donor sperm, we can use gestational carriers or other women to carry pregnancies, and there are always alternatives like adoption or foster parenting. Those are really hard conversations, and we have lots of conversations throughout the entire process on what is our plan B and what is our plan C and what do we do at the end of the day if A, B, and C don't work? How are we going to have a baby? Psychological support during the IVF process is critical. Care of both the body and the mind during this process is critical. And so we work with a team. We have a team approach. We have a team of experts. And we're not just medically treating the fertility, but we're really psychologically treating both the individual and the couple.
Dr. Eve Feinberg is an OBGYN and a reproductive endocrinologist, also the medical director of Northwestern Medicine Fertility and Reproductive Medicine in Highland Park, Illinois. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.